1029 The Hog presents another Bob and Brian podcast.
This Bob and Brian On Demand is brought to you by Marcus Theaters. Select locations are now open. Come experience the big screen again in a safe and comfortable environment. Purchase tickets and order food in advance at MarcusTheaters.com or on the Marcus Theaters mobile app. Your seat is waiting.
And it's Friday. That means it's time to check in with the Rabbi of Rock, Gary Graff, for some music news. Good morning, Gary.
Good morning. How are you?
I am well. Yourself?
Good, good. Nice to be with the A-team.
Oh, yeah.
Always.
Yes, as we head into this weekend, Friday the 13th today, too.
I know. Then again, or like everybody, or like a number of people have said, same as every day in 2020.
Right, so. Yeah. But a 2020 Friday the 13th is a little extra special, I guess.
I guess so. You know, I don't know. Stay inside today. You know, listen to some good music.
Yeah, there you go. We're supposed to stay inside anyways here in Wisconsin. So the governor is asking us to please do that.
And it sounds like the weather is cooperating with that.
Yeah, it's cooled off now. We had 70s earlier this week. So
I know. Wasn't that nice?
That was awesome. Yeah. But I don't think we're going to see 70 again for quite some time.
Yeah, no, I would concur. I did get out and play a little golf. So.
Did you?
Oh, yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah, you have to. If the cosmos are going to hand you that.
you got to take advantage.
It would be wrong not to take.
It would be, yeah. So where do we start today with music news?
Let's start with, big announcement that came down yesterday was Super Bowl, 55 this year, The Weeknd. That's W-E-E-K-N-D. Pop star, he will be the halftime show headliner, and as we've talked about before, the NFL has kind of pivoted from that run of classic rockers that they did to now trying to get the hottest pop act they can. Jay-Z and his Rock Nation company are producing the event again, and so, it is going to turn in a more pop, a more urban, a more crossover kind of direction, and The Weeknd fits that bill to the T. Huge, huge hit maker, award winner, has done very well for himself over the course of just a couple albums, really. So he will be the headliner now. Now the guessing and predictions begin about who his guests will be, what he's going to play, et cetera, as well as the national anthem singer.
Well, they usually try to bring in like a classic rocker to add to these shows, right?
A really good collaboration. I don't know who does it for The Weeknd, but you never know. Throw somebody up there, it'll be a couple. There'll at least be two to three more mass appeal people, and he's collaborated with a lot of people as well, Ariana Grande, a few others. So it'll be something. What's going to be interesting, of course, is with a limited capacity on the Super Bowl this year. It's not going to be the same kind of mania that we've seen other years.
Right.
But I'm sure it'll be a big, flashy show.
They're going to, they still could deliver the TV show.
Oh, exactly.
So, and it may be easier to do without a crowd having to get everybody down there and ready for it.
That's a good point. I don't think you'll have socially distanced fans on the field. No mosh pit like you've had. That's been part of the tradition, too.
Right.
So we'll see. Wolfgang Van Halen is releasing a new single next week. It's called Distance. It's going to be out on November 16th. And this is a song he had recorded for the solo album that's been in the works for years at this point. But he's now pulled it from it. It is a song about, as the title Distance indicates, it's a song about loss and missing somebody, and he says it's incredibly personal and very appropriate to help express his feelings about losing his father, Eddie Van Halen. So that'll be the first solo music we hear from Wolfgang Van Halen, and again, that is on the 16th. Next week.
Is there any pre-recorded stuff from Eddie on it or anything like that?
No, nothing like that. He's not going for the posthumous duet or anything. That'll possibly come later. I shouldn't say probably. But you got to think, too, that all this stuff that's in the vault over at Eddie's 5150 studio, some of it has to have Wolfgang on it. I'm sure they got in there and just jammed and had a good time.
Yeah, I just came across something last night. It was a recording of Van Halen playing at Pasadena High School.
In 1975.
Yeah.
That popped out last night and, you know, doing a lot of cover songs, ZZ Top, a few other things. Those are fun to hear. There's a lot of bootlegs that are out from that era, you know, the 74, 75 through the club years up until the debut album came out. And, you know, it's fun to hear them as kind of a better than a hack band. Listen, if that performance was done at my high school, there'd be no complaints.
Incredible. Everyone would be talking about that for the rest of their lives.
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt. But, yeah, so Wolfgang Van Halen, you know, new single next week. A couple of good shows, interesting shows online this week to steer people to. Foo Fighters will be playing tomorrow night after their really a triumphant performance on Saturday Night Live. They announced their next album. They played their new single, Shame Shame, at 7 o'clock tomorrow night. They'll be playing live from the Roxy in Los Angeles, full band show. You can get tickets for that at foofighters.co/Roxy, R-O-X-Y. And, you know, maybe we'll get previews of some of the other new songs from the new album. And then at 4 o'clock tomorrow, Metallica will be doing an acoustic. That's right, Metallica and acoustic in the same sentence. They'll be doing a benefit show for their own charitable foundation, and that'll take place on Facebook Live as well as Nugs.tv.
Is that that's not free though, right? Because
I think the Facebook Live will be. It's interesting. It started out as a ticketed show, and then last night on their social media, they popped out that it was going to be on Facebook Live, and you can't charge for Facebook Live.
I didn't think so.
I think maybe they just made the decision, let's go for the larger audience and hope people make individual contributions rather than make it a ticketed event.
Sure, okay.
So check out the Nux TV thing, because if you buy a ticket, there may be some extras you get that aren't just the performance.
All right, excellent.
So those are well worth it. We've been tracking a couple of stories over the weeks that we should give the latest updates on the Phil Collins saga.
Oh, yeah.
Taking another turn, you know, his ex-wife, I don't know what we call her, Oreen, is now accusing him of reneging on a verbal agreement to split the ownership of this mansion that he had to kick her and her new husband out of.
Oh, come on. How much did he pay her?
Something. It wasn't 60 or 80 odd million when they divorced.
And she wants to bring this in front of a judge. Judge just go,
right.
Woman,
well, what
please.
What had happened, you know, just before this was Phil Collins did get an agreement from Oreen and her new husband to vacate. You know, they were they did a hostile takeover, physical takeover of the mansion. And now they agreed to vacate. But she's saying now that when she and Phil got back together, and I really wasn't aware of this, that he actually convinced her to get divorced from the guy she was married to at the time. So they got together, and promised her that if she did a no-muss, no-fuss divorce from this guy, you know, he would make her whole. He would make sure she got money. So saying that was the trade-off. She had half ownership in the mansion. So, you know, she hasn't said whether she's going to sue her or not. She also took a couple of shots about, you know, claiming at least that Phil Collins had lapsed back into alcoholism and was taking prescription drugs for his physical issues, and that when he did that, he became very reclusive and started to neglect his personal hygiene, and in fact stank.
Oh, geez.
You know, and that the stench pervaded the mansion. So yeah, we're getting really down and dirty.
Oh, wow, yeah, she's pulling out the stench defense.
Yeah, yeah. When you're starting to talk about you know, your ex, whatever he is smelling, you are getting down into it.
Yeah, it's getting ugly. Wow.
Yeah. So we will keep tracking that, only because it's fascinating.
I feel bad for Phil.
I do, but it sounds like he made some of his own bed here.
Yeah, a little
just
bit.
Just in terms of not being careful.
Right.
So we'll see what happens there. Britney Spears, the other one we are tracking. So there was a hearing this week. You know, she, of course, is trying to get her father, Jamie Spears, removed as her conservator. And she has another company. She wants to take that over. She's now saying that she is afraid of him and she will not perform until he is no longer the conservator. Meanwhile, she did release a single this week called Swimming in the Stars, via Urban Outfitters. It's their first new track in quite some time. So she's not performing, but she is releasing a single. That's out. Meanwhile, in this hearing that took place this week, Jamie Spears says he has no intention of voluntarily leaving as Conservatoire.
Another guy that just won't go away.
Yeah, he's not going away. He's claiming that, you know, he rescued her, you know, and which he did, you know, rescued her both personally and business wise, and, you know, that she is still not capable of making her own decisions. So we will keep tracking it.
Yeah, he just wants more money to go away, I think, is probably the thing, right?
That would be, yeah, exactly. Have a good settlement. So as long as we're in the train wreck lane, Sinead O'Connor, almost feel like, need I say more?
What is she up to now?
So she tweeted out a message this week that she is postponing all concerts she had planned for 2021 in order to enter a one-year treatment program for trauma and addiction, and this begins next week. It's a one-year program.
Wow.
So she's apparently going to go deep into it and try to regain some semblance of health for herself. You know, she does say in the message that she grew up with a lot of trauma and abuse that was only compounded by being in the music business. And, you know, acknowledges she's had a really bad 6 years. You know, how so? and so she is going to take the next year to heal. And listen, she's, you know, all joking, I guess, aside, she was once a brilliant artist, and I could think, you know, and we cannot necessarily say that about Britney Spears. And so it would be nice to see Sinead O'Connor regain her footing, regain her voice and her artistry.
Yeah.
And come back and be, and if nothing else, just be a healthy person. I mean, that would be a good thing.
That would be nice.
All of these people, we want just to become healthy and whole.
Exactly. Yes. We hope the best for them, but wow, they really can mess things up, can't they?
Those are adventures.
Yeah.
Speaking of healthy and whole, the little bit of news about the live music concert industry this week. Michael Rapino, the CEO of Live Nation, did an interview where he said he anticipates what he's calling a robust summer season at scale. The quote is at scale, and doesn't really explain what that means, but he's making noise that he feels like concerts will come back. That word robust is a big one, and he also, not just concerts, but for festivals too. His indication for that is how many people have held on to tickets, both for individual shows and for festivals that were postponed this year due to the pandemic. So he's feeling like once they do get shows up and running, and clearly hoping it's going to be sooner, or predicting that it's going to be sooner rather than later, people will flock to them. We'll see. I mean, this is also the voice of a man whose company dropped $3.77 billion during the third quarter of the year.
Yeah, he's got a little vested interest in taking, you know, that side of things.
And I have praised Live Nation and AEG during this time for not trying to do end-arounds or shenanigans or, you know, try to make things happen before it's safe for them to happen. So I hope it stays this way. Meanwhile, Ticketmaster has revealed a plan of sorts for how it sees dealing with concerts and keeping them safe, you know, as they come back. And it looks like, among things, you're going to have to, as a ticket buyer and an attendee, provide either a proof of immunization or proof of negative COVID ID, COVID-19 testing within 24 to 72 hours of attending the concert. And it's going to involve, you know, measures online to secure your tests, and then to have your tests recorded and transmitted to the venue so they will have a record of it.
Wow.
When you present your tickets. So, you know, this is the kind of thing we anticipated. At least we see they're giving some thought to it. Some other voices, you know, from the Peanut Gallery in terms of concerts, Lars Ulrich from Metallica told CNBC that he really doesn't see live music returning, you know, until at least the third quarter of 2021, and he says that's at the earliest. Metallica did finally postpone their South American tour that was set for December, as if we were, you know, expecting anything else.
Wow.
Whitesnake's David Coverdale, meanwhile, did a podcast interview where he said, you know, the band has been planning a farewell tour, and that is going to probably have to wait until 2022 as well. And, you know, we've seen Elton John move into 2022, a few other acts. So you can sense the trend there and where it's headed. Maybe we get some small-scale stuff later in 21, but the real return certainly looks to be 2022.
Wow, that's not good news, Gary. And these guys
but at least we're talking about it. And like I say, in the case of Ticketmaster, at least we see evidence that they're making a plan.
Yeah. Well, a lot of these bands aren't getting any younger. I mean,
this is true.
AC/DC, I'd like to see them out one more time.
They've got their album out today, but you know what? I love that AC/DC 2020 sounds like AC/DC 1980.
Right?
I just love it. And,
yeah.
If you're looking for something to kind of, you know, blast your brains out away from the pandemic this weekend, I can make no better recommendation than Power Up.
They see no reason to reinvent the wheel.
And nor should they.
Nope. They invented it, so
they invented the wheel. Another song, we love them just the way they are.
I agree. Still, no ballads. Have they ever had a ballad? AC/DC has never recorded a ballad, have they?
No.
Love that.
We want to know what to do with it,
right?
You know, that would be the end of the world. That's what would kill Keith Richards.
All right, Gary. On that note.
Have a great weekend.
Yeah, you too. The guys will be back next week.
Well, they have a lot to live up to.
All right. Thanks, Gary.
Okay, bye-bye.
See you, man. It's